In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
He is ever shall be.
A few years ago, I developed a running injury in my foot. I later learned that the condition is somewhat common to people who run consistently, and it's something that's called runner's arch, and that's it gets its name because it's a common injury for runners. The tendons in the arch of the foot become overworked, and they need time to heal. But at the time that this had happened to me, I had no idea what was going on, what had caused it, what was happening, and needless to say, what I could do about it to help it feel better. And it did not feel better. In fact, it felt worse and worse and worse, to the point that it hurt to run, it hurt to walk, it hurt even to stand on my foot. There was always this nagging, aching pain in the arch of the foot. And so I decided I would try to learn something about this and did some research on it and found that there are various stretches that can help and so forth, but the sad news was the only way to actually help it heal when it is in this condition is to stay off your feet, to stop running and to do different things at night so that the tendons have a reverse kind of tension on them, which helps them heal. And so thus I stayed off my feet. I had to purchase this elaborate, it's like a splint that goes on your foot to hold it in a certain direction while you sleep, which was uncomfortable, but all of that was part of the healing process, and over time it worked. Stayed off my feet, stopped running, and it felt better. But then it felt so good that I made the mistake of running again on it, and the injury quickly returned. And I needed to start the whole process over again. Well, because I just couldn't stop, because indeed I have a love of running. There's something therapeutic for me that I love to run. It's not just a form of exercise for me, but it's something that's helps me meditate and so forth and clears my head. And so again and again, I made the same mistake, and the cycle repeated over the better course of a year. Until finally, I discovered that there really was a primary cause of the problem that I had not yet considered or discovered. And the problem was, quite simply, the shoes I was wearing. They were the right size, but it happened to be the fact of the way that those particular shoes fit my particular feet. They were supposed to be good running shoes, and they came highly recommended by other runners, but the fact was, for my feet, those shoes simply did not work right. They did not fit my feet perfectly enough, and they promoted injury and re-injury. And so, needless to say, with a little bit more research on what I needed and taking the time to actually try on shoes that fit my feet the way they were supposed to fit my feet, almost 2 years later, and I remain injury-free, thank God. But it was a great thing to discover the solution to the problem. But this morning, I want to consider the fact that spiritual gifts are a lot like shoes. Now, I haven't lost it entirely in making this comparison. Bear with me for just a moment. Spiritual gifts are like shoes. Like shoes, I cannot presume that I can wear your shoes, and you can't presume to wear my shoes. One shoe doesn't fit all of us, right? We all wear different size shoes, and shoes fit our feet differently. And so it is with spiritual gifts, that what one gift is for one person, God gives one person a gift, it's not necessarily my gift. And what my gift isn't necessarily your gift. God gives a variety of spiritual gifts for the good of the body of Christ. And the truth is, we cannot ultimately wear one another's shoes. Each member of the body of Christ has to learn to do their part, to do what God has called them to do, to discover their gifts and to perform them for the good of the body. The image that the Apostle Paul uses is the image of the body having members of the body. And each of us are members of the body performing functions, as organs of the body have to perform each their own function. And then they come together and they form a healthy body. And so it is in the body of Christ. We are those members of Christ's body, and we can't all desire to be an eye or an ear. We all have our specific function that we must fulfill. And essentially, this is what the Apostle Paul is bringing out in the epistle text to the Corinthians today. We hear of his beautiful, poetic descriptions of love, but we have to understand that this section of love, this famous section of love that the Apostle Paul writes in his epistle to the Corinthians, is actually in the middle of a whole discussion on spiritual gifts. The whole chapter previous and the whole chapter following, the Apostle Paul is laying out what he is teaching the Corinthian believers about spiritual gifts and how they need to practice their gifts and how they need to operate in the midst of their community. And he interrupts his discussion on gifts to remind them that love is what is most important. And he does this because they were off course a little bit. He does this because they had become caught up in a spiritual form of jealousy and envy, and they were envious of one another's gifts. And so he had to remind them, what's more important than the spiritual gift that you're seeking after is love. See, it's so often the case for us as well that in our lives we think that we need what somebody else has. Or we look at somebody else's life and we think, if only my life was like their life, and we think that simply by trading places that it would work out all of our issues in life. We don't stop to consider that everyone has problems in whatever state they find themselves in. It's just a different set of problems, but the problems follow us and struggles are there no matter where we find ourselves. And sometimes we look at each other and we think we need the gifts that someone else has. I don't have those gifts, and if only I had those gifts, and we can fall into that jealousy and that envy. We can think that we need to walk in someone else's shoes. But spiritually speaking, we can never do this. When we try to walk in someone else's shoes, we discover the sad reality is they don't fit. They don't fit our feet. And when we force it, it not only hurts ourselves, but it hurts everyone around us. Because ultimately, we're no longer doing our part in the body of Christ. We're trying to do someone else's part, and we've forsaken that which we're supposed to be doing. We're seeking to do somebody else's job. We're not doing our own job. We have abandoned our post, so to speak. And so other people suffer the loss of the fact that we're not in our post doing our duty. The body of Christ suffers as a result of me trying to put on someone else's shoes. The Corinthian community suffered from various spiritual ailments. We hear in the early chapters of the epistle how there were factions amongst them, that there were divisions that were threatening to tear apart the community. There was definitely spiritual envy at work in them, and there was pride seeking to dominate each of those believers. They were jealous of one another, seeking to promote themselves. And the apostle indeed needed to show them the more excellent way, as he says, to instruct them in the higher gift. He instructs them in the supreme Christian virtue of love. And the apostle eloquently compares love to great spiritual achievements, speaking with tongues of men and angels, faith miraculously moving mountains, prophetic gifts to understand all mysteries, offering our body to the fires of martyrdom. But he makes those comparisons, he makes those points, and in the end says, without love, these things accomplish nothing. Without love, these things mean nothing. And ultimately, without love, I am nothing. See, the apostle identifies these things that we associate with spiritual greatness, the prophetic, the miraculous, the martyrs, because he needed to make the point that love is even greater than these things that we think are great. But the problem is, love is the common thing that is before us. And its commonness sometimes makes us dismiss it for something that is more extravagant. But before we dismiss love too quickly, we need to consider that the kingdom of God advances by God's wisdom, not by our own. Just for a moment, consider the way of the cross that Christ went. The way of the cross was according to the wisdom of God, not according to the wisdom of this world. Christ knew where he was going and what he was to do, but the disciples didn't. They didn't understand. They thought it was a foolish move to even return to Jerusalem, and they tried to stop Jesus. If you go back to those passion accounts right before his passion, they thought all would be lost if he returned to Jerusalem. Christ would be killed, and they would return to their former lives. Satan surely thought that he had triumphed when Christ took up the way of the cross. But that wasn't the whole story. What happens through the weakness and the foolishness of the cross is Christ triumphs over sin and death, over the devil. Triumph comes, victory comes in the weakness, in the frailty, because the wisdom of God often uses the weak things of this world to put down the wise and the strong and the mighty. And so it is in the context of love as well. Love, we think, is a common thing available to us all, and it is. We all have the ability to love. Unlike other spiritual gifts, we can all grow in love. And this is the highest of all gifts. But because it's common to us, we sometimes forget it. We think love is common and thereby it's weak. But truly, in the kingdom of God, there is nothing more powerful than the power of love. And the kingdom of God truly advances through love. So instead of us wishing for someone else's life, or instead of us envying the spiritual gift of someone else, We need to embrace the shoes that fit our feet. We need to embrace the common thing that is before us, the ability to love. Let us embrace that call this morning, the call to love. We can't walk in other people's shoes. They don't fit us, and they cause us harm, and they ultimately harm the body of Christ. We have to learn to love the shoes that fit our feet. We have to put on love and walk in love. Though love is indeed common to us all, it is the most powerful thing in the kingdom of God, and it is the greatest of all spiritual gifts. Love conquers all. Love never fails, and love never ends. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.